Namaste Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 19. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajan mukunda sevyan vayadanga samshritim. Smaran mukundam griyupagunam punar vihatum ichan narasa graho jana. Translation. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasa graha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down because of uncongenial association, like fruitive workers, who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position, seemingly, of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotees who are put in a forlorn condition are more fortunate because they swiftly return to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking themselves helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. The pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Translation again. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, and so on. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in previous verses, we read about the great value of devotional service, even if the devotee falls down in an immature stage. And here we find the same point repeated and elucidated by bad association. A devotee who has an inclination to fruitive activities may become so influenced that he begins to imitate fruitive workers, and he appears to have the same type of material desires and engage in the same type of material activities. And thus, from the spiritual point of view, we see that the devotee has fallen down. But even though the devotee has fallen down into activities that resemble the activities of ordinary fruitive workers, there's a difference. And the difference is that the devotee always remains under the care of the Lord. And the fruitive worker simply suffers the reactions, material reactions to sinful actions. But the devotee is under the personal care of the Lord. And even if the devotee is chastised by the Lord, whatever the Lord does for the devotee is for the devotee's benefit. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that the devotee is surrendered to the will of the Lord, just like the child is surrendered to the parents. Sometimes the parents may give some sweet to the child and hug and kiss the child. And sometimes the parent may give some bitter medicine to the child or discipline the child. But in both cases, or in either case, the parents are acting out of love for the child and doing whatever they consider to be best for the child. So in the same way, Lord Krishna is like a loving parent toward the devotee. And sometimes, according to the situation, he will encourage the devotee with the spiritual counterpart of hugs and kisses and sweetmeats. And sometimes he will chastise the devotee with the equivalent of bitter medicine or some disciplinary action. But whatever he does is for the devotee's best interest. And therefore the devotee accepts whatever the Lord arranges for him. And by such surrender to the will of the Lord, actually the devotee becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Tate nukampam susamikshamana. And when the devotee is placed in difficult circumstances, the devotee simply thinks of the Lord and prays for the Lord's mercy. All the time tolerating the material reactions and at the same time thinking of the Lord and praying for the Lord's mercy. And the result of such sincere service and surrender is that the devotee becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Mukti Sadayabak. Just as a son or a daughter need do nothing except remain alive in order to inherit the father's property. Similarly, the devotee has nothing to do but remain alive in Krishna consciousness in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And what does it mean to remain alive in Krishna consciousness? It just means to continue to chant the holy names, to follow the regulative principles, to serve the Lord according to one's capacity, with the association of other devotees. One doesn't need to achieve some great feats in devotional service, but if one just remains alive in Krishna consciousness, tolerating whatever reversals come by the will of the Lord or by the reactions to one's past activities. If one simply tolerates the difficulties, and awaits the Lord's mercy. Remaining engaged in hearing and chanting and remembering Lord Krishna, then the devotee earns the right to enter the kingdom of God, just like the son or daughter has the right to inherit the father's property just by remaining alive. So, the other point mentioned in the verse is that even though the devotee may fall into material activities by the association of mundane people like fruitive workers, he or she always remembers the ecstasy that he or she experienced at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And by thinking of such ecstasy, the devotee remains purified or becomes purified. Even though because of weakness the devotee may be engaging in mundane activities like ordinary people, but still the devotee can never forget the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, and therefore the devotee always remains in some sense in Krishna consciousness. And therefore Lord Krishna will make whatever best arrangement he can to bring the devotee back to the Lord's lotus feet. So again, the verse reconfirms the same point as the earlier verses, that one who engages in the service of the Lord attains the greatest benefit, even if one is not immediately successful to the point of perfection. And therefore one should not hesitate to engage in the service of the Lord, but one should take the opportunity and render whatever service one can and make whatever advancement one can. And even if at a later stage one falls down, because one is in an immature stage of Krishna consciousness, still there is no loss. And for one who performs his material duties without Krishna consciousness, for him, what is the gain? So the conclusion is that one should take the chance and engage in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Small point. So the devotee who fallen down is acting, and for action there is reaction. So then what happens to that part, to the reaction of his activities, which may be not good?
Well, in the case of an ordinary person, you know, the laws of action and reaction act, and the person will automatically get the reaction according to the sin he commits. But in the case of a devotee, even though the devotee falls down, he doesn't get the reaction automatically from the material nature, but he gets some chastisement by the Lord himself, which is meant to rectify the devotee. And You know, the example is similar to the point mentioned in the purport, that if a street urchin commits a crime, you know, he'll be arrested by the police and punished by the police. And if the son of the king commits a crime, he'll be handed over to the king. And the king will discipline him to teach him a lesson, but still being punished by the hand of the king, who is one's own father, and being punished at the hands of the police, who are just doing their job, are different. Although they may appear similar. So Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna uses the devotee's sinful reactions for the devotee's best interest. They're not being given to him automatically by the laws of nature, but they're in the hand of Krishna. And Krishna will release them on the devotee as and when he thinks they will do good for the devotee. In other words, help the devotee come to his senses and, you know, realize his purpose in life to be Krishna conscious. Any other questions or comments?
Sometimes it seems that the reaction for the devotee suffers more than what the ordinary person suffers.
Well, the Lord is more kind. Like Srila Prabhupada told the story of the young man who committed murder, and he was brought to trial and sentenced to be hung. And the judge asked him if he had any last request. He said, yes, I would like my stepmother to come forward. Her mother, a stepmother. So she came up to the front of the courtroom to the young man, and the young man actually bit off her ear. And of course she was horrified, and, you know, she said, why did you do this to me? You know, I always gave you whatever you wanted. I always let you do whatever you wanted, and now why are you doing this? And he said, yes, because, you know, you were so lenient with me. Now I'm in the position that I'm in now. If you would have disciplined me, I wouldn't have come to this position. So, and discipline is beneficial, and leniency can be bad. Any other questions or comments? Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Tagore Premanande.